shake some booty and boogie down. Every Sunday, I always made this church on God. You see, I like money die. Die, last person must buy.
Uncensored, the Unfiltered Truths podcast starts right about now.
Afambo, Ikechukwu, Sunday Cross Okonkwo. Album Big Brother Nigeria 6 finalists for Shine Your Eye.
More and on at the Uncensored podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to the most anticipated episode of this season. Today with me on this episode, I have Cross. Yes, the Cross we all know and love. Cross Big Brother Naija, and
I'm beyond glad to have you on my podcast. You don't even know how much this means to me.
Thanks, I really appreciate it.
I'm so grateful. Thank you so much for bringing out time. I don't even, I'm so emotional.
Thanks. Yeah. No.
Please, you're so down to earth, so humble, so. Are you looking for a wife?
They look for sugar mama. I'm not sure for wife yet.
Okay.
I still be a baby boy.
Like this you are. Do you know, I did a quick Google search on you actually, like right now. Do you know what Google is saying about you?
What?
Do you want
I'm
to know?
Yeah, sure, why not?
How many times have you Googled yourself, like since you
came out? Honestly, I have never.
You actually haven't Googled yourself?
I swear, if I'm being honest, I've never.
Are you serious?
On God.
Wow. Well, I Googled you. They didn't say anything serious. I just said you're from Anambra. You did this.
Okay.
You're a fitness expert. You wear your hat on a sleeve. Is that true?
Fascinating. Well, I guess that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Yes, 100%.
Okay. I just want to ask you like a few questions.
Okay.
Yes. I don't want to take so much of your time. Like a few questions.
Sure, please.
Yeah. So how are you, like in general? How are you?
In general.
Yeah.
Okay. Honestly, blessed.
Okay.
I feel like the world as we know it,
yeah,
is just, you know, shining a very big smile on my face.
Wow.
And I just feel like it's
going to
be
so
better.
Blessed.
Like,
you feel so
yeah,
good.
I feel like it's going to be better. Like, it's going to keep getting better. Like,
yeah, it's going to be better. Wow, that's so nice. I was actually expecting you to say, they try, because I felt like maybe you have so much on your hand.
I have a lot on my hand. So, fair and square, I feel like, as I said, I feel blessed, but a lot is going on, but it's noise. It's pretty much noise. So I try as much as possible to like filter a lot.
Filter the noise.
So,
yes.
Noise. So I'm always busy. And especially I'm in Enugu right now, and the event that just happened is just giving me so much goosebumps, and it's just giving me like so much hope and so much like feeling that yes, I'm in the right space, I'm meant to be where I'm meant to be, like, you know, whatever happens in life, it's just a matter of stepping stones, you just keep quiet, being that kind of feeling. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Yes, I'm actually smiling from cheek to cheek because it's actually refreshing to hear, especially with the state of the country right now. It's very rare to actually see somebody still have this kind of, you know, positive mindset to all things. And you talked about even like deciphering what is noise and what's not noise. I actually feel like that's actually very, very important. And yeah, that's so nice. So who was Cross before Big Brother Niger?
Oh, damn. That's an interesting one. That's an interesting one. So who was Cross before Big Brother? Oh, who was Cross before Big Brother? Cross was a lot of things, if I'm being honest. Okay, let me just go down memory lane a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Cross. Well, I was quite a handful of a lot of things, if I'm being honest. I was a farmer. Like I sowed rice.
You're serious right now.
No, I'm serious. I'm definitely serious. I sold rice. I was a rice dealer. I've supplied rice across Nigeria.
Wow.
You know, different states. We had a factory in Abuja.
Okay.
Deliver. So we used to close deals, sell rice. We used to go and bring a party from different parts of the states, from Niger, Kano, you know, Plateau. So we sell them. Then also, I was, you know, a clubber because I used to go to the club every night. To turn up because once the day is over, the night, you know, good guys will surely turn up to come apart. So yeah, I was a devout club goer. Yeah,
What would you say was like your weirdest or like most memorable club experience?
I've seen a lot of things in the club, like I've seen so many crazy
what's the one your you know you want like that is safe that is kind of safe that you want to share?
Oh, okay, you mean me personally, what I've been inside? Or what I've seen in total.
Anyone, like just like your experience, like
okay, experience. Well, there are many, like there are different experiences in club because once you go to club, you're exposing yourself to many, you know,
yes,
good norms, different kind of things, good bad people.
Yeah.
So I think this one particular one, I was in the club, right? And my cousin doesn't like clubbing. A lady, my younger cousin, she doesn't like clubbing at all.
Yeah.
She's not a big fan of it. But I think it was a celebration of something, so she was like, you know, let her go turn up, have fun, listen to good music, and you know.
Yeah.
Shake some booty and boogie down with our friends. And then pull up. So we're at the club, we have fun and everything. And towards the end of the club, she came to me and I'm like, oh, this is a guy that harassed her. I'm like, what happened? We're like, it was like he's touching my ass, and I told him not to. He kept on touching it. He was like, I'm like, are you sure? You're like, yeah. Like, I came up and she took me to the guy. I was like, what's up? Like, why are you harassing? Because, like, he was trying to be rude. And I'm like, wait, you're harassing. Number one, you don't know this person.
Exactly.
Number two, because she's a woman. She has body, she has nice. You think you have the right now to be touching her without her giving her permission? She doesn't know you, you don't even know her. It's just that she's there in that same space that you are, and you feel like you have the right to touch her. Are you a bastard?
Bro.
As I was still like trying to like reason to get out more, the guy head but I ignored the guy.
No, Jesus.
Thank God. I had ticket because come on, that's my cousin. First of all, that's a girl. Two, like if it was a guy, I'll say okay. But two, that's a girl.
Mm-hmm.
She's younger, and she's come on, man. She's just came to have fun with her friends. And what the hell are you trying to harass her for? So I said, hey, but the guy. The guy was still trying to get himself, but he had some people around him, and the guy stood up and tried to challenge me, but not knowing that, come on, it's Abuja. Abuja is my city.
Yeah, so he had your goons around.
Yeah, if anybody sees me in that kind of authentication, know how people are going to jump into it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So as people were trying to rise up to attack me, almost everybody attacked, like they literally like pushed them and attacked them. That's how we now told them to throw them out of the club, and that's how we threw them out of the club. So yeah, that was pretty much one of the most, you know, craziest experience I had in the club. So yeah, that was one. So there are different experiences, if I'm being honest.
This is just one. But the fact that this one doesn't even like top your list, then that means like almost you don't fit in. So
no, we spend most weekends out there, and the funny thing is that guess what? Every Sunday I always made this church on God.
How did I
because I knew, like, first of all, I was going to one of the most amazing church, which is Family Worship Center back then in Abuja, and I loved my pastor, and I loved the fact that her preaching was teaching me. So no matter what, every Sunday I want to still go listen to her voice, listen to her sermon to know what she's going to teach about today. Is it going to be about like love? Is it going to be about health? Is it going to be about relationships? Is it going to be like, I just love listening to her voice when she speaks and teaches. And plus, the praise and worship team were very good. So I love praising God. Yeah, they were magnificent. So even if I was having a bad day or I just tried to just be there, so even if I party that night and I'm so tired, the next morning, on God, I always want to make it.
With your shoes on at the back of the church.
Funny enough, I know I used to wear the shoes. I wear it as I'm coming to the church, but as I'm about to enter like the main auditorium, I pull it off because I respect. Yeah. I respect myself. I wouldn't want like to wear shades inside the church. So it's when I come out of the church, I can wear shades.
So you don't have like hangover or anything, or it doesn't concern you.
Sometimes I do. It depends on the night.
Yeah.
It depends on the night. It depends. It varies because your body gets used to certain things sometimes, but it depends. It depends. And again, our Thursdays as well, they were care group because there were care groups where I was a care group leader. Meaning that I was a care group leader, meaning that I have to like get the sermon for that Sunday and get ready and read it and teach it on Thursday when my care group members
are
come.
Serious?
Yeah,
I which have to is do like that. A total different cross from the cross that we know.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Like I have a lot of tricks about me that people don't know.
This is a different like cross altogether. Yeah. Care group leader. Wow, yeah. I've never.
I was a care group leader. Oh God, for many years, like I had my care group members, and I always enjoyed it. It was so amazing. It was amazing because you get to see young people, you know, come to talk about God, you know, talk about whatever they're going through, and also if it's care time, you need that. Sometimes they are going through some things in school, or they need some certain things, and we could also discuss it there in the care group as a family, and you know, anybody that could help will help. If we could not help, we'll not push it to our coordinator or our deacon to be able to assist us in any of those things. So
that's so wholesome. But do your church members know that you used to frequent the club, like?
So the thing about me is that I will tell you who I am. I'm not
you don't hide.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. I'm the most realest person I think I can find, because I wouldn't want to lie to you and tell you I will do this and I will do this. I will do this. No, my mom knows me and my mom loves me for who I am, and my siblings too. So I know I definitely go out and have a good time, but there's something I don't joke. You think God, anybody that tells you God does not exist, that person, there's something wrong with that person.
Something wrong with that person. Yeah.
To me, I have seen with my eyes what God has done for me as a human being, not for my family, me each
personally.
Because of one call. Do you understand?
Yeah, you know the thing.
Personally,
you know the thing with people that usually say that God doesn't exist, because they really do not have like a personal, you know, encounter relationship with God. So they're talking about it based off of what people say, and what people say might not necessarily be their reality, so they really cannot resonate with it. So that's why they're God doesn't exist, because they've not had like a personal encounter. That's why I'm always an advocate of know God for yourself.
You. Not for church or not for religion, not for yourself. I believe
this is so beautiful. I actually did not know that you were a church boy.
I love God. I don't joke with him. If I tell you what the guy don't do for me, me say sometimes me and the fear.
I like, just shock.
I go say, how far? Why you love me like this now? What did I do?
Exactly, like the love is so overwhelming, especially because like you do not deserve it. Like you don't sit down and be like, you sit down and be like God, like.
But he comes through every time.
I'm actually really so happy that you understand this, because a lot of people don't understand. And another thing is that people tend to force their own experience on people. Do you understand?
True.
Like if someone sits you down and asks you, why does God exist? Like, you will just keep the person there and keep on talking and talking. But for someone that has, like, other people would want to come and say, okay, you said God doesn't exist, but he has done this for me. Do you understand? But they won't want to, like, they won't really, the person they're talking to will not understand, because it hasn't happened to them. So another thing that people need to realize is that people have their own experiences. Do you understand? So you cannot really blame them. I don't even, like, judge them. I just say one day you will see the light, honestly. One day God will just
that's what I do. I always make excuses for people. Why? Because they don't know. Sometimes they don't know.
Yeah.
So that's why I always say this. Don't be quick to judge someone, because I promise you, if you were in their shoes, 99% of the time you might not even know or do better.
Exactly. And you might do worse than they've actually done.
Yeah. You don't know. So yeah, that's why I'm so like super like in tune with my spirit, because I love the fact that my mom raised all of us in that path.
In that way. Because
yeah, my mom raised us like every morning we gotta pray, in the night we gotta pray. Like we have to talk to God. That's how my mom made it seem like we need to talk to him like our father. And after I lost my late father, my dad, after my dad died, it became more or less like she became more of our dad. So more or less like,
oh, exactly.
Oh shit, it's morning. We need to go and say hi to dad. Okay.
Hi.
Oh, let's go say hi to dad in the night. Okay. You know, that kind of thing. Oh, dad is dad, like let's talk to dad. It's time for school fees. They think you answer. We want to travel. Like, it became like that kind of relationship thing. Like the most interesting thing was like 97-98% of the time when we speak to him, he always
came through. Hi.
So because of that, my papa did. So I never felt like I didn't have a father somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew that somehow somebody was there looking after me or watching out for me. But I have a stepdad, stepdad. He's Senegalese. Yeah, he's in Canada with my whole siblings and my mom. I'm not really close to him like that, but because we are far from different continents, but we talk to each other, and I know that he loves my mom and loves my siblings 100%, so which I automatically care about.
That's
so beautiful. That shows like, that's cool. So yeah, that's it.
Wow, that's so wholesome and beautiful. I'm literally smiling from cheek to cheek. I wish we could I'm literally smiling from cheek to cheek right now. So,
let me bust your brain again.
Okay,
so before the house, do you know that in 2019, this was also part of something I was doing as well before like COVID came.
Mm-hmm.
In 2019, I was the president for Southeast Youth for Atiku.
No.
Campaign.
Are you serious?
I swear, on God. On God. Like, I've been through a lot in this life. I don't see things. You won't believe it. I've done campaign. Like 2019, I was in campaign fully, full time. Like, for me to be the president of the Southeast
Youth, like the whole of Southeast,
the whole Anambra, Enugu, Abia, Imo, Ebonyi, I was the president for the Southeast Youth for that. So I know, like CEFA, our organization is called CEFA.
Okay.
So I know during that period of time how much information I gathered about Nigeria, about politics, about how things are being done, and understood how things really work, and understand how things can also be changed for the better. So that's why I see hope. I believe it's just that it's unfortunate that the older generation has honestly run off heavy streets. But it's okay.
Do you see yourself going into politics in the near future?
Well, me personally, I'm not sure I would love to. Do you know why?
Why?
So, I have seen how politicians act, and I've seen how they do their things, and I've seen how they are. And I don't know how to lie, if I'm being honest.
Because you're so real. Like, I watched the show, 100% real. You don't have time for any fake play game, whatever, guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I hate it. You know, this suit me for body. If I lie, give you.
You just think it somehow.
Yeah, it's going to take me for body somehow. And if it's going to take me for body, I don't go sleep. I mean, I like my peace of mind.
Yeah, peace of mind.
I like my peace of mind past anything for this life. I like peace of mind past money on God. I like money die. See, do I like money? I like money die.
But peace of mind, but guy.
I like peace of mind.
No.
Oh God, I like. I can go to bed and nothing's worrying or nothing's bugging. Yeah. I love it. Yes. Yeah.
Do you think that as a politician, for you to thrive, you must lie? Is there any time? Am I just being
Well, I don't know. I can't really tell, but what I have seen so far, they will promise you this, promise you that, promise you A, promise you B, and at the end they get in and they don't do it.
They don't do it.
So so in my mind I'm like, why you can't tell us all these things when you know say you know go do it? Like, why just be poporous? Like, why not just don't tell us? Man, just go and read it and enter there and just do it.
But I actually feel like if you should come out for anything now, I feel like just the way your realness, like it was one of your, you know, selling points in the house. I feel like if you come out and be like, hey, this is me, no filters, no nothing, this is what I can do and this is what I cannot do, I actually feel like, well, I think I'm being too optimistic, but I feel like it's actually go a long way, you know.
So I will look for someone that has the same character or vision as me and put them
there. Yeah, I'll put them there. Okay.
I don't think I can really, really do that whole being in the frontline politics.
Okay.
Because I'm a businessman. I love business.
I can never disappoint.
I want to be able to do business, travel around the world. Like, I want to go to places around. Like, if I be a politician, like, you are going to hold me accountable for so many things. Yeah, but I don't want that.
Accountable, what are they? They don't even care, so they don't even.
And that's the thing, because they are not really good, but those are criminals. They don't care.
Yes,
they don't care about us, they don't care.
Anyway,
but if truly I'm going to go in and I tell you I will do this, I have no other option to do it because I don't tell you say I go do them.
Yeah, because so like your word is bond.
Exactly, my word is my boss. So if I no can't do them now, I fuck up, you understand? So I rather not just get myself involved, make I just do my day business, the job, my life. So
right, guy, yeah, you're a total vibe.
Yeah,
I actually thought that like interviewing you was going to be like also, you know, if I ask you question, answer me, if I ask you question, answer me. This is actually like, I actually did not expect this. What was your biggest takeaway from the BB Naija show? What was your biggest lesson?
If I'm being honest, I might still learn lessons even to you ask me and talk to you. I still learn today, safe. I still learn. But biggest lesson in general, God, that's a very interesting tough one. But biggest lesson, don't believe what people say. Don't just believe. Like,
at all. Like, anything anybody say, don't believe.
Like, wait and watch.
Yes.
Wait and watch, man, because honestly, that house taught me so many things, man. It taught me so many things. And I was so blinded to so many things.
Yeah.
I did not know that so many things were going in that house. I did not know. Yeah. I did not know. And coming out of the house, hearing and seeing, and you know, even as some of this reunion is going on, and I'm like, what? Like, I'm like, okay.
Like, you're still discovering things.
And I'm still discovering things even to as of today. Like, it's shocking me too. And I'm like, okay, now, so this life be okay, all right.
Wow.
Okay. You understand?
Yeah,
so,
I guess.
That one really, yeah, it did. Then, two, what else have I taken? I've taken that human beings, don't get me wrong, I love human beings. We are our biggest achievement, but guess what? We're also our biggest flaw, man.
Wow.
Yes, we are our biggest flaw, because I don't understand how a human being can intentionally try or decide to do another bad thing to another person just because you feel like the person deserves it or not. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. I don't see how someone can just wake up and start scheming.
That's how scheming. To, because
like, scheming how to be bad or do something bad to people.
Honestly,
it doesn't sit well to me.
Yes, honestly, you know, we have so much in common. First of all, like, we are so real, like, we give it to you how it is. And secondly, this same thing you said now about like not understanding how somebody can just wake up in the morning, and what the person is in their mind is how do I make life miserable for next
year? So another year, or what do I do?
Do not get it. But what I've actually come to realize is that, you know, we are the main characters in our own story. Do you understand? So most, more often than not, we actually think that, okay, how we behave is how everybody behaves. But I've just come to terms with the fact that, like, the next person is totally different from me, has a totally different experience. You know, a lot of things can, you know, just, you know, add to why the person, maybe the person was in a toxic relationship with their family, you know. Maybe the person, I always used to say, you know, maybe they lack love as a child, because what is this? Like, why are you projecting so much hate? The environment. So I've just recently decided to just say, okay, it's not about me, it's about you and whatever is going on in your life, and I'm not going to be bothered, because honestly, the thing leaves you thinking, am I the problem? Like, is it me? Am I the bad person? But I just want to realize that it's them, and like anything that they are projecting is actually, they should go and heal, honestly. I cannot be bothered about people that do not contribute positively to my life.
Right. That's why I love parents. So, you see now, honestly, in that house, I never knew that Perry and I would become brothers.
Yeah.
Like, on God, like, is it that guy, Perry? There's nothing in this life I'll not do for you.
Why? Why do you feel so?
Okay. I love the fact that she's someone that she's so intelligent. Like, she's intelligent.
Yeah.
He's very, very intelligent. And me, I don't know if I'm that intelligent, honestly, but when I see someone that's very intelligent, it resonates. I could see it. Mm-hmm. I could feel it. So now, coming into the house, he is a definite alpha male, of course.
Mm.
And I could see it in his eyes. And I could see that this one had a bad boy, definitely.
I swear. Yes. I didn't try to hide it from the
face. He tried to hide it, exactly. So, fast forward, as we kept on going, and we realized, okay, we're interested in the same female. But, but the female, you know, decided to go more towards his side, and which I understood, I respected.
Yeah.
But even still, he felt threatened, and he felt some certain way around even my presence, that I'm still even around this whole thing. And it makes me realize, okay, last, we be guys. Mm-hmm. You understand? Guys are always going to feel like, okay, if the thing don't work for them well, if they're feeling some kind of threatened or whatever. So, when Mary eventually left the house, he started letting down his guard. Bad. And and he asked me one day, he asked me for something like soapcase. Mm-hmm. And I had two or three, and my mother was like, why should I give this guy? But the way he asked me, I realized he honestly needed it. I was like, you know what, sure, why not? And the way he thanked me after I gave it to him, I was like, for suitcase. So I was like, okay, this guy is not as asshole as I thought he was, especially the situation that also happened with white money as well. I really hated that fact.
Oh,
that
my God, to, you know, like, let me not even get into what I feel about that
part. Yeah, so fast forward again, and we started talking, and I realized, this guy in a cancer just like me, July, but his own is June, ending June, which is better coming up very soon.
Yeah.
So we now started talking more, bonding more, and I realized, okay, this guy is a correct guy. So, and now we've gone out of the house, and we've spoken in length, and whenever he's in trouble, he calls me, and I could see, like, he likes me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he genuinely cares about me. Like, I could see it. Because there's some people that don't, they don't care about you, but they act like,
and those are the worst.
God bless you. Yes. So in that house now, so many people acted like they cared about each other.
On the light side,
they actually don't care about each other. They don't give a fuck about each other. Like, they don't even care. So I thought I was going to be in that situation where we are going to come out and it should be more or less like, but every day that passes seems like we actually do care about each other, and I could see that this guy cares about me, and I tested him several times, and the more I keep going, the more he keeps having my back, and I'm like, nah fam, this has to be no longer a bro. This is no longer a friendship. It has to be a brotherhood.
Wow.
Do you understand? So, and that's something that I would always thank Big Brother. Like, I would always thank Big Brother for giving me such an... I have good friends and I have good brothers.
Yeah.
But he has definitely, like, I've not known him for 10 years. I've not known him for 5 years. I've not even known him for 3 years. For you, I've not even known him for a year. It seems like we have known each other for so many, because we've done so many things together, bad things, good things, crazy things, all over. We've done it together.
And like, you feel like you have your back, like, anytime, 24/7.
Yeah, exactly. It's that person that you know that, you know what? We're in the house together. We saw so many bullshit. We saw so many ups and downs. We came out of the house. You kept it real. You kept it 100 after everything. So many lights, so many noise, but yet you stood your ground. You should say that, oh, your head did get be correct, guy. Don't mind it. We move. No, what happened? We did. We couldn't go. Wow. You understand? That kind of thing.
That's that's beautiful. I think one of the things you guys have in common is that you both are both real people. Do you understand? Like, you have no time for games.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that was one of the things that you guys have in common. That's one of the things that brought you people together.
It's and Lico 2 has also joined the category, because Lico 2 is becoming like family. Like, we're becoming more like family, like me, Lico, and Peria. I'm getting very close to Lico every single day as well. So he's becoming like my, like, I also another ride or die too, because she too could be easily misunderstood. A lot of people misunderstood the kind of person she was. And if you really, really pay attention, just watch Lico, you understand that she's just a baby. She's actually just a baby. Yeah.
Wow.
She doesn't have wahala too. She's just a baby. She just likes to dance. Yeah, that's all. She just likes to dance and, you know, does her gig, her influencer. She's so focused. I never see anybody with focus but Lico. Lico, Dave, as in, you see that dance, focus.
I swear,
the person we do and sing for Lico, now because of Lico, they do that song.
That's so nice, bro. Another lesson would be, like, you know, the people that they tend to misunderstand at first, like, you actually really do calm down. You see that these people are actually better than people that will just come at first and be all smiles and all this thing.
Yeah.
That's, like, another lesson. What do you think has changed about your life since the show?
A lot. Too.
Or should it be, but what honestly, has remained the same?
What have changed? So many things have changed, though. I go down the road and people recognize me. That one, the cross. Yeah, this event I came for Indigo, I'm sure it took over like, over 300 selfies or so. It was ridiculous.
Wow.
On God, like, people like.
What do you think you've gotten used to, like, the superstar life?
No,
like,
I don't think so. I don't think I will, if I'm being honest. And guess what? Do you know the most funny things?
What's the most funny
thing? Everybody thinks my Big Brother, where the thing goes top. Guys, I plan and live where I get to become a bigger version of myself. Hey, God.
Okay, as a tech lover, do you think the tech industry in the Southeast can grow and become big?
Amazingly well. What did I say today?
There's hope.
There's hope. I'm ready to die in Nigeria. You see, one of the reasons why I never left Nigeria.
Yeah.
Like, I studied in England here. I would have descended and go to Canada. My siblings, everyone's in Canada. One or two things made me not to, but also I think a stronger conviction that I think Nigeria was for me. I think that we would eventually make Nigeria the better version of Nigeria that I feel like it should be. And I believe that if like minds can come together like us, we can do a strong version. So I believe that yes, tech in Nigeria, tech in Southeast, tech in Africa would do numbers, would do amazingly numbers. Just watch. In the half of a decade to quarter of a decade, you are going to see great things come out of Africa, great things come out of Nigeria, great things come out of the Southeast. I believe you.
Wow, that's so, like, your energy is so contagious. Like, anybody that did not believe, like, once they listen to you, they're like, yes, they will just like change their mind, and that like your energy is so very, very contagious. Okay, the second to the last question is, you love to travel, so I noticed that the Kigali trip that you went for, were you did you enjoy the zip lining or were you scared?
Scared. In this, nope, I enjoyed it too. I went in there, I went in with my full breasted chest, as in, I wasn't scared at all.
Are you
like, I was like, whatever happened, let it happen. You see me, in this line, chest, guy, last, person must buy, you understand? Person must buy.
So, like, so you have now, no fear whatsoever. You have no fear whatsoever.
Nah, the only thing is, I won't be saying, God, when I go by, please just give me like 2 or 5 seconds, make I just talk to you before I buy. That's all.
Wow.
That's my own belief. That's all. Just give me 5 by. Just give me like 5-10 seconds, make I just say 1 or 2 words in my last breath. That's all. So even if I buy today, I'm okay. I've done a lot. If I buy 10 years from now, I'm okay.
Yes.
If I do 10, 100 years from now, I'm okay. So
is so contagious.
So anything we want happen, make it happen. I know, say last, I could be okay. So when I entered that zip lining, I knew that it's just fun. Yeah, I was going to die.
Yeah.
So I had fun. Yeah, it was, and I would do it again. It was one of the most amazing things that I enjoyed in Kigali. It was fun, and I wish everyone should do it because it shows, like, it takes away fear from you. Exactly. Even if you are scared, yeah, you will see that you are not really scared of anything at the end of the day, because a lot of people allow fear to hold them from achieving so much.
So many things.
So, and their thing is just fear. Not just their mind. Just let go. You'll be shocked that nothing will happen. You will just go, you just come out.
Yes, thank you. Oh my God, thank you so much. The last question I actually have is, I saw your BBC interview one time like that, where you were trying to speak Igbo. I just have one small favor from you. Can you translate this thing I'm about to say now?
Okay.
I am about to leave here in the next 5 minutes.
What's your name again?
Onye.
Onye, can you hear me again? What's your problem? You want to help by asking?
Okay. Let me give you a simpler one.
Okay, hold on. Let me try if I can try. Okay. What did you call it again? Say, I'm about to leave you in the next 5 minutes.
Yes.
Okay, just give me a second. I'm about to leave you in the next 5 years. I fuck. Okay. That's okay. May I see it here in the next 5 minutes?
You're doing so good. I'm so proud of you. You're doing so good. I'm so proud of you. Mwa ge ezit eba.
Yes, mwa ge ezit eba in the next 5 minutes.
Okay. Just one more thing. Can you say, I am on the Uncensored podcast?
I am on the Uncensored podcast.
In Igbo.
Mwa nona the Uncensored podcast.
Hey. Oh my God.
Much.
Yes, you've actually got it. Thank you so much, Cross, for your time.
You're welcome.
I'm beyond grateful. Thank you so much. And your energy is so contagious, and nothing in this world should ever like make you just change. And I know nothing will ever make you change. I'm just trying to just let you know that you inspire a lot of people. Honestly, your realness is very, very inspiring. And if anything should change, that should not change. Your energy, your soul, like your genuineness. Nothing about that change. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you so much. You're welcome. Have a lovely evening, okay?
All right. Thank
you. Guess who's calling me? Sef. No, I'm in a live podcast.
Okay, guys, this brings us to the end of this episode, and I hope you enjoyed listening to it. If you loved what you heard, please do not forget to subscribe on any listening platform that you use so that you can get notified when I release new episodes. Also, you can rate me 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, as this increases my visibility. Then you can go ahead and share to your family and friends so that they can have a good time as well. If you're looking for a way to encourage me, you can tip me using Abeg app with my Abeg tag at Uncensored Pod, or my Shukran link, which I will leave in the show notes of this episode.
Yes, you can also follow me on Twitter at @theuncensoredp_. And see you guys on the next episode. Thank you guys so much for listening and always having my back. Please do not forget to get your PVCs. We need to get it right come 2023. Love you guys so much. Bye.